Hi, everybody. You're listening to Radio Statler. We have the Biohacking Hour. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
So I'm Mike Getzman, self-acclaimed biohacker, formerly healthcare itself.
I'm Nina. I do bioinformatics.
I'm Jameson. I started Biologic in Norfolk, Virginia.
I'm Patrick. I helped found the DIY Bio Lab in the Bay Area in Oakland.
And I'm Mary Ward, and that bio lab that I helped co-found with Patrick is called Counterculture Labs. Come and see us.
So this is iPocket once again, and we've gathered the all the gang here. And hopefully I'm not overloading the mic right now. So this is the Biohacking Hour. Originally it was supposed to be an hour, but it might be a little shorter than that, but I promise it's going to be a lot of entertaining stuff. So biohacking is like one of the big themes that I hope this year just exploded. So people might think this is a new thing, but like, kind of just tell us like the general scene, like how did you guys get involved in what you do?
Sure. So I specialize in DNA hacking.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, it came down to a reasonable level, about $1,000 for a small sequence of genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy crap, I can find out more about humans, and knowledge is power. So that's, I got involved in 2007.
Hell yeah.
And jumped into bacteria, blood testing, and it just, once you're down the rabbit hole, like, good luck.
How'd you get involved, Nina?
I've been working in the New York City hospital systems for 10 years, and I've done bioinformatics, so for me it's the collection of data and then what you do with it.
I've kind of always been a maker-hacker kind of guy, and learned about synthetic biology in about 2008, 2009. And I went to iGEM a couple times, and that just kind of sealed the deal. I was like, I have to make my own space. And then it's just been ongoing ever since then.
So I'm a science doing my day job, but I only do computational work. So I do bioinformatics, study bacterial genomes, things like that. And I've always wanted to work in a lab and sort of get the experience of doing the wet lab skills. So I got into DIY Bio around 2009. I love coming into these DIY Bio places and learning the wet labs and playing with hardware and not do bioinformatics, which is what I do for my day job.
So after graduating from college, I was looking for some opportunities, and I found that the West Coast had a lot of opportunities, but there's a lot of competition. Before I came out there, I saw a talk by Evelyn Jorgensen, who opened GenSpace here in New York City.
Woo!
And I was inspired. Open labs, so I could have bench space. So I went out to the West Coast searching for one and ended up building a lab.
That's always the case, you know. If it's not there, make one. Invite people,
mm-hmm.
especially your friends, and be dragged into it. You know, it's like that's kind of the maker thing. So since there's so many stuff to talk about biohacking, and I'm always impressed how like diverse this whole kind of field is with its different backgrounds. What do you guys, especially recently, like in the past like 2 or 3 years, what do you think is the attraction to people to this biohacking grinder sort of field?
Yeah. So let me just clarify something for the listeners. There's at least 3 different communities that all call themselves biohackers.
Right.
And it's we're a very big tent. so you have the grinders, you have the people that actually do body modifications, mm-hmm. do implants, implant magnets in their fingertips, implant RFID tags, implant a cell phone in your forearm, whatever. So those are classically called grinders.
So kind of like our makers.
Yeah, well, they're hacking their own body.
They're right. primitive right. Terminators.
Cyborgs.
Yes.
Cybernetic organism.
Right. Then you have then you have people that sort of deal with sort of more sort of experimental supplements, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole community around Tim Ferriss, they call themselves biohackers as well. And they're experimenting sort of with what hour of the day should I be taking caffeine to be able to last as long as I can and then sleep well. Right.
And there's actual apps that you can track all these different things, mental capabilities. So if you take caffeine, like you can see 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes of how well that's altering your yeah,
body chemistry and
you know,
like
your mind.
Yeah,
so
and then the third group is people that more or less call themselves DIY bio, and that's more focusing on sort of the genetic engineering side. So now individuals can start doing genetic engineering. It's no longer locked up in these big labs or multi-million dollar companies,
looking at their DNA, making dinosaurs.
Yeah, or making fluorescent plants, or making
glow-in-the-dark
bacteria.
Democratizing this new technology, right? Which is now biology.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that's interesting for me is that it's always been described for me that the biohacking field, when you take those two groups, in the same way hacking is also multiple different disciplines that have all band together, is that we always been compared that the stage that you guys are on right now is similar to the Homebrew Computer Club.
Right.
But what's an interesting contrast was, they were starting, and they got things like when Bill Gates sent that angry letter that now he's backtracking on, that you know, there was corporate stuff out there, but like corporations are still trying to figure out like how to do with this tech and stuff, while like the medical field is something where it's like lawyered up, protocol, like all that's locked in. So it's like, when if you want to like buck and rebel, like I see you guys like really like pushing that era as opposed to the Homebrew Computer Club. How's like the relations between like the air quote professionals and like what you guys do? Is there a lot of crossovers? Where's the butting heads?
There's a lot of butting heads. I mean, Craig Venter is terrified of this movement. Terrified. Why? Because he's an incumbent player. A lot of the incumbent players are terrified of us. Monsanto is the one who's actually making a lot of legislation to make it harder to do genetic modification.
Because they want to buy your modified bees for your modified plants.
Well, no, they can throw $1 million to bring a product to market. No big deal. And the startups, they don't even have that kind of, that's their entire budget. So, we're not necessarily getting a lot of welcoming. There's a lot of fears.
You think is that a healthy thing, or do you think that's like
want
to build relations?
Well, it depends if it's irrational, unwarranted fear, or if it's justifiable fear. A lot of the experience I've had with this is the younger sort of scientists, they like this movement. They see it as something they could do on the weekends for fun as a hobby or something like that.
Yeah.
The older, more senior scientists, like at an academic research sort of center or college, they don't like it. They called me all kinds of things. I'm a perversion of science. I'm this, I'm that. Like, they're very outspoken.
The same people who brought you Radio Bikini, the Bikini Experiment, perversion of science, ladies and gentlemen, younger generation.
It's also that we're questioning the established paradigm.
Yeah.
And because we're doing that, we are a threat.
Oh, the smart one's speaking now. Yes. Yeah.
And I really think that, I mean, biology is going to be the technology of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you're still only doing computers, you're so stuck in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Squishy software.
Yeah.
So I think it really behooves us to make sure that as many people as possible know what these technologies are and know how to work with them.
And they have access to learn about them and have equipment to hack on. Yeah.
And then I work in pharmaceutical stuff, like on like the retail end of it, and just insurances and stuff alone is ridiculous. So I know that whole like money for barrier of entry, both in like production as well as in market, and it's like crazy out of control. So I can understand why, like, if you did like open source stuff for biology and like chemical systems, like chem biology, that could definitely see like the sort of warning signs of like, oh no, there goes our jobs, you know.
There goes their funding.
Funding, yeah, too.
I think a lot of the professional scientists are still pretty much ignoring this movement.
Yeah.
Because they think it's just the amateurs tinkering around.
Right. Yeah.
So I view biohacking as kind of like what computer hacking was in the 80s. It just wasn't considered cool, and it suddenly caught on, and now it's prevalent. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of early adopters.
And we're kind of only being able to do like little hello world programs where it turns a color or makes a smell, or it's very basic programming. And we keep joking about how from this movement there's going to be a Microbesoft, like a big industry that comes out of there. And we're starting to kind of see that. There's more products coming to market now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more companies starting up and trying to do something with this technology, not just make something glow, which is fun.
Yeah, follow the money. There's tons of money coming into this atmosphere.
Where do you think the explosive population comes? Like, one of my best guesses, because like I said, I'm going to be the straight man, clueless person here, is that we are now having an aging population. Like, I remember before she passed away, my mom not only had to wear an outside wearable, eventually they had to plant a defibrillator in her. And that's when she like started to look at like DEF CON talks on it and news articles and stuff, and she really got into it. I wish she could be here to see a lot of the stuff now. Yeah. But like I think that's one of the contributing factors is you have like younger generations of people who are diagnosed with like more serious health problems and like trying to use that advanced stuff, and you have an older population who are now developing stuff and they're looking down like the barrel and it's not fun.
and life extension research is like a huge deal right now. We've had people coming by us and say, would you guys like research this particular topic because I think it might be useful?
Yes.
And we have to say, yeah, it might take a couple of years, but and they say I might not have that much time to live.
Oh, man. Speaking of life extension, because I'm trying to pull her into this, someone recently had a talk about a couple of times ago. No, it seems like it was a great, like, everyone was just like on the edge of the seat, like listening to every single thing. Do you want to describe what you were talking about?
I told people how I was going to die and how I lived through it.
Yeah.
By
gangsta.
Looking, right. By looking at my own DNA and making educated choices about that with my healthcare.
Mm. So like more freedom as opposed to just sort of like, oh, you know, you may have a bug. We're not sure. Here's some vitamins. Bye. Like,
right.
Which everyone else does. Like, that's our American.
If you walk in informed and having decisions already made for yourself,
right,
and you tell them what you want and you say, this is my proof, because they like to do the, well, you're not a doctor. No, but I have this information and it's important to me.
Which is crazy because we're HIPAA-like and stuff like that. You would think that they'd be like even more for the, because they, you know, no one wants to get sued. So it's like HIPAA, they try to do like the illusion of choice thing, but in reality, they're just like throwing stuff around, trying to figure out, you know, how to make
what
like
to do with it.
Mimic clones and stuff like that. So, how about a general thing? What is so far for each one of you the coolest development you have seen in the scene, whether it's a project or just something changing overall? Maybe starting with you? Or?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that's really cool about this movement, and which is kind of starting off, is like, yes, we're trying to solve problems, and a lot of things are like, what problems need to be solved? But we actually get a lot of artists coming to us.
Yes.
We get a lot of MFAs, and they're looking at biotechnology as a new media to play with. And I think that's what's really special about removing this sort of technology from the confines of industry and of academia, where you have to have this like defined solve a problem purpose. Now you can do anything you want with this technology, and I think that's where we're going to see a lot of exciting things emerge.
I have to give a shout out to Mary Tsang's workshop yesterday here at Hope. So Mary, Mary and her partner made this beautiful set of documentaries about the DIY bio movement.
That was
look it up online.
Yes.
Dissect DIY sect. She also did a workshop yesterday, very hands-on, very biopunk hacking workshop on isolating estrogen from urine, and we did egg yolk as well.
That was the one I thought it was on a different day. That was the one I was the most hyped for, because I have a lot of friends who just, you know, were unfortunately born as males and they transitioned to females, and when they're asking like, so you're doing that computer stuff, like it's the coolest thing, and I brought up, oh, there's someone doing like kind of open source, make your own estrogen, they're just like, you can do that? Like, so that's even like an idea, like a thought?
She showed us how to make a chromatography column from a vodka bottle that we cut with a lighter and a cup of water, and then stuffed it with some cigarette filters, and then some silica gel on top of that, and then somebody kindly donated some fresh urine to pour through there, and we isolated the estrogen with methanol, and then we're evaporating the methanol.
You know, I can't think of a better project than vodka and estrogen.
And probably one of the coolest things she did while she gave a little like 45-minute talk, and then we did the workshop.
Right.
She had this cool Arduino incubator thermal readout that she'd pinned up here. And then she strapped Eppendorf tubes to her, and she was the incubator for the estrogen yeast. And it was like this very like womanly mother.
Queen.
Right. How you gestate something, and that was like the whole like clashing with society and mental ideas of that.
See,
and,
now I realize what
literal
you guys are
mother
doing.
Nature.
Yeah, this is not
the,
why
the subtitle was Housewives Making Drugs.
Yeah, and that was the whole idea, is like you could do this in your kitchen, so it's like women in the kitchen doing this and like breaking the social norms.
I smell a new reality show on the Sci-Fi Channel. So what about you, sir? What's the coolest thing you've seen?
Oh, there's so much. Everything from DNA, from individual medicine. So, for example, you're detected with erectile dysfunction.
Oh, really? So I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. But your DNA would tell you what drug is more effective for you. Now apply that to every other, for you know, heart attack, cancers.
Right.
You personalize the medicine to you, and it's a lot more effective. I just see that being so impactful for the community as a whole. Just the data of who you are and what you can do with that.
Making that understandable and accessible. I think that's kind of what we're about.
Exactly. And then inject it into your hand.
I bet you point to her, is there anything more awesome than yourself that you've noticed in the community that you'd like to mention?
I favor the implantables.
Yes, you have two of those.
I have two of them. But it's also, I think Google is working on a contact that detects the sugar. And there's just things that you can put in yourself so you have advance notice of something happening so you can avoid an event instead of having it.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone like, I'm actually going to change that. So, since we're trying to keep this in a consistent thing, what sort of things, like, because like I said, you are at this like cusp here where like things are coming more affordable, people are looking into more stuff, people are like, it's like really applying this like hacker ethic like to this field, like full hardcore, not just like theories or like, you know, someone like trying to replace their hand with a second Genesis, but like, it's, I think there's some crazy European girl that tried to do that one time, but it's like, you know, going for that, like, where do you see, well, what's the roadmap that you'd like to see this like all heading eventually? Like, where do you see like the next hope from now in 2018 or 5 years from now? What do you think that biohacking world's gonna look like?
Well, kind of different than this. I'd like to see better documented parts and more open source like repositories.
Like
there's
a,
stuff
like a
out
GitHub
there
for like
they're out there, but they're kind of like they're abandoned or they're not too active or they're kind of all spread out. And the more materials we have to work with, it's like being like doing electronic components. The more electronic components you have, the more complex circuitry you can make, the more neat gadgets you have.
Mm-hmm.
So the more genetic parts you have, the more we can do that are like say intellectual properties removed from them and things. And so that's where we need to go.
And I think also sort of harnessing this power of the crowds to work around a lot of the IP issues that are really holding back a lot of research right now. So, for example, we have a project that we're developing an open source insulin. Insulin was the very first genetically engineered drug on the market in 1982, and there's still no generic version available, which means that the three big pharmaceuticals that make insulin can charge whatever the market will bear.
Yep, that's why they hate generics.
So we're trying to develop a novel methodology for making insulin and then completely open sourcing that and essentially trying to give generics companies a leg up on the market so they can start competing and drive the price of insulin down to into basement.
And this is where you can get real interesting. So say you don't like you said, they don't like there's a generic out there. Well, pretty soon you'll be able to like hack a bread machine, a yogurt machine, something like that, and they'll be your 3D printer of an organism. So say you can download a torrent of a pharmaceutical, brew it up right there, and then eat it for breakfast. That distribution platform, they'd never be able to shut down.
One of the coolest conceptual things I ever heard of was the idea of that instead of, you know, the current organ donating the organ process where you have to find a blood match and a donor and you're on the donor list waiting forever, was that in a theoretical future, they would be able to get a sample of your DNA, probably from blood, and when you're at the hospital, get the genetics, maybe sample it from, like, for example, the heart itself. And not simply clone the heart, but let's say it was like in another facility, had to be sent over to send the information over into 3D print cellularly. Put that in you, and since it's your own genetics, it's highly unlikely you're going to reject that from you.
So I'm helping to run a DIY bioprinter group over at BioCurious in Sunnyvale.
That's a great name, by the way.
They're no, experiment with friends.
BioCurious, ooh, nutty.
So we're literally trying to 3D print with living materials, with living cells.
I've heard heart valves being printed, and like that apparently once they're in the viscous, it automatically starts going because of the nerve structure.
So those are mostly still taken from either a donor animal or from a cadaver. Because the heart valve itself, you don't actually need to have any cells there to work.
Yeah.
It's just all the connective tissue that does the work.
Yeah.
So you can just strip out all the existing cells and implant it directly. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, that's a technique called decellularization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it's a technique that's being developed also to be able to implant entire organs. So you can decellularize a whole heart, then implant it with stem cells from a patient, essentially, and regenerate the heart.
Yeah, so, look up Ghost Heart. DIY Ghost Heart.
See, even the names, Ghost Heart.
He
so,
did that
who
one.
Doesn't want one of those?
So as a Halloween project, we actually made our own Ghost Heart. We got a fake heart and we decelerized it. It took a whole day long protocol. And now we have a Ghost Heart, nice and white, mm-hmm. sitting in a jar of Everclear on our shelf.
I think we're going to be cutting out some of the middle companies and so forth. We're going to be making our own reagents. So we're going to have that kind of GitHub of so forth that's run by the DIY community. We're going to be making our own enzymes. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be bottlenecked when regulation starts to try to shut down this movement. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're trying to empower it. And also, this stuff is stupid expensive. When you're talking about enzymes, mm-hmm. honestly, they're just pennies, sugar molecules. That's all you have to do is just growing up with sugar. And right now, it's way too expensive. So we want to make it more accessible. So I think we're going to be owning the supply chain.
We have Cory Doctorow as our keynote speaker, and one of my favorite books I actually had him sign at Comic-Con was Makers, and I don't know if you've ever read that book, but one of the great things about that book is the idea of a market where, due to the rising costs and just BS business practices, that our hardware markets crash, and so almost everyone essentially becomes a maker to some degree, and there's its own economy for that. So to me, kind of what you're describing there is like literally that scenario, but with like the health industry, which would be even more amazing because I think it's even more of a monolith than what you see a lot of tech companies
going on. It's not only health. I mean, it's new foods as well.
Yeah.
Right. So another thing we're working on is vegan cheese.
Yeah, like gastrobiology.
We're trying to make cheese proteins in baker's yeast. So you can cut out all the animal suffering. You can also cut out a lot of the environmental impacts of the dairy industry. And we can create a food that potentially we could engineer to be better for humans than cow's cheese, right?
And this is why I pushed this segment for the radio, because this is like the most exciting, awesome shit, and like the wide-eyedness, because usually we have people on here and it's like, yeah, I made my own operating. It's like they're just like, you know, everyone's talking about pen testing and SQL injection stuff, it's all done, but like the literal excitement and wide-eyedness, like all the network people need like blood transfusions from you guys, because they really need that, like going in there, like in your case, Neo needs to wake up.
Shut up. I'm going to tag on to your comment before. There needs to be less fear. We need to be able to, us biohackers in general, need to be able to function and do the things that we need to do rather than, and make it public.
Right.
And less expensive and available for people instead of having to do everything. Not necessarily, I don't want to say by the book, but the laws need to change. They need to be more open to what we're doing and use them.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. It's better. Yeah. It's organic.
You essentially are doing a bunch of research for people, for consumers and like people doing stuff.
But so people like fear what they don't understand.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I like to make an analogy. It's as if mankind just invented fire. Mm-hmm. Right? And the neighboring village is freaking out about the fact that these other guys have fire.
Or in our own history, when we caught Mitnick and like the judge literally believed that if he whistled into a payphone, it would send nukes over somehow. Right, and it shows the limited
understanding. Even more recently, the Large Hadron Collider, everybody was terrified that it was going to make a black hole and suck us up. And it actually might make little black holes for a little bit, but so far we're all okay.
And a lot of people don't even realize that the actual black hole that was generated was the 2016 presidential election. Like that's the, you know, because everyone's fearing that, but, you know, our political process.
About the wrong kind of
things.
But to get more serious about this, that's why we do a lot of these biohacker spaces and engage the public, is because we want science literacy. We want people to understand these things. Yep. And this is what's so good about the bio art, as Mary was talking about, is they bring it into the public sphere and they push your comfort zone, and it forces people to think about this stuff and think about, what direction do we want to bring this into the future? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Or is this horrible? You know, is this what we want to do? And
What do we actually fear?
So because I'm trying to do things up, so not necessarily a wrap up, but we're like ramping down. I remember a lot of there was actual, believe it or not, controversy, because you've seen like the hardware space villages. We have all sorts of microcontrollers and a lot of maker stuff and how to build stuff and drones and all sorts of things. There was actually a period where a lot of different groups and conventions were debating of, hey, we have a network security conference. I'm not going to name names. Some of them take DARPA money. but like, should we have like hard? Should we feature hardware? Should we, this maker scene with this Make Magazine, should we feature them? Are they real hackers? Are they elite? Bleh. And like, Hope was one of the things like, wow, these guys are passionate. F yeah, let's do it. And the general community by merging those two, the network administrator type people and social engineers and all the lock picking stuff with the maker, just made it richer. Now the biohacking that's really taken off, you guys are now coming into, well, I don't even feel like you're coming into us, we're going into your thing. Like, we respect you guys, at least on my end, I've seen a lot of respect. How's been the reaction at Hope and like other similar like makers and hackers have been to this sort of field?
Pretty good, I'd say. I mean, for many of them, it's still not on the radar.
Yeah.
But I think the reception we've had so far here at Hope has been.
You've never had like a MySQL administrator backend go like, oh, you do DNA sequencing, whatever. Like, that hasn't happened yet.
We've only had one anti-vax nut come by so far.
Yeah. But yeah, it's actually some people that are still kind of fearful of what this can do and mm-hmm. putting it into an amateur space, even though those people are actually very interested in getting into the scene themselves. Yeah. So a lot of demystifying happens at that.
I've seen that, you know, where it's like, yeah, I can totally break into your Facebook and find out where you live, but like, leave my fingernails alone, mm-hmm. you know, it's like that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. What has been your experience?
I had a woman tell me she would pray for me. When I was showing my implants at Tribeca Film Festival, I said, "Do you want to touch
Mark
them?"
Mark of the Beast.
Yes. And she said, "I will pray for you. God bless you." And I was like, "Thanks. Thanks so much." And she didn't want to interact. Yeah. And I was like, "I can explain why I did it. I can tell you what's on them." And she was just, "No, no, thank you," and walked away. And I was like, "Okay."
Sometimes that's the best thing you could do, where it's like I don't get it, I don't necessarily support it, but I respect, you know, like what you're doing. Like, sometimes that's just the thing. What has been your experience, sir?
So last year at DEF CON, I spoke on DNA privacy.
There was a whole village for all of that.
Correct.
Stuff. Yes.
Yep. So, and I've had many people contact me after asking, how can you help me get information from my DNA?
Mm.
And I think I'm up to about 200 people
heck
sequenced.
Heck me.
Yeah. So, I demonstrate you can just shake someone's hand, get their DNA, swab mm-hmm. it. And sequence them right there on the spot.
And so, if I remember correctly, we have our own little section here for biohacking on the mezzanine with some very interesting stuff. Does anyone want to highlight like any of the things that's been brought over? I saw something with like making proteins for knitting, I think it is, or something like that.
Yeah, the bioesters people over there.
Yeah, there's actually a bioart project that was featured through a MoMA project. Yeah, and unfortunately none of those people are here to speak about that at...
So they're trying to make an alternative clothing fabric using bio.
Yeah.
Mixed success, I believe.
So they're using alginate, which is essentially polysaccharides. It's extracted from algae. And you can just extrude it and dry it and make fabric out of it. You can modify it genetically as well if you want.
That's kind of what they were telling me. A lot of stuff they were saying was clothes. And I remember they were saying that we want to get it to a thing where, like, you can like also infuse flavor into that stuff. So if it was edible, you could eat it. And apparently she didn't even realize this, where I was like, it would be cool if you not saying that anyone should do this, make a hippie tie-dye t-shirt and it's laced in with some trippy stuff so that if you did lick or eat your own thing, you would be as tripped out as your clothing. Or like, you know, have something that has a turkey on it and it actually tastes like turkey.
We need to patent this.
Or a real bacon shirt, you know? It's like,
no, we should not patent that.
Yes, no, I want this to go around. I want everyone to have bacon shirts next year. That should be our con badge for next year.
And so,
bring their own bacon shirt.
Apparently now we have some questions here. I'm going to try to go through these. Okay, let's see. Actually, I was thinking about Corey Doctorow's concerns about internet-enabled. I think they're circle jerking in IRC right now.
So one of them here is asking, "What's our opinion of 23andMe for genetic sequencing?"
I just saw that. Yes.
So those who are not familiar with 23andMe, you spit into a little container, you send it in. They take the white blood cells out of your saliva, sequence you into their computer,
mm-hmm.
and do associations with current research and others in the database. Mm-hmm. So if you never knew you had a second cousin, they might show up in the database and say, here's how you're related.
So it's like the Elliot for DNA from Mr. Robot.
And they don't do whole genome. They only check about a million different locations on their genome. They're locations that are known to vary between people.
How accurate is this thing? Because I've seen a bunch of different companies with stuff.
I would say dead on.
I mean, the sequence is accurate. The prediction is probabilistic.
It's based off research, so if the research is flawed, the results are flawed.
That sounds like astronomy. You know?
They have the confidence ratings, too, on it. You can look at the studies of where they're getting it from and how big the sample size was. And,
Exactly. So
then you can get to your own data and play with it.
Yeah, you can get the raw data and feed it into other SNP sites and stuff like that and see what it means.
That's what's been interesting for me, because one of the earliest things I guess you could say about biohacking that I got introduced to was her name was Neon Rain. She presented a lot of stuff for DEF CON, and she would do stuff with bioelectric feedback in video games. So for one thing, even though it's more common, is that she had something where you hooked it up and it did your actual blood pulse. And so the higher your blood pulse, the faster the Tetris piece would fall. As someone who does a lot of video games, I'd be very interested to see like the biological data of like you load in your DNA and it will like generate with that data like a mountain slope that you can go skiing down and stuff like that.
So let's bring it to a whole other creepy factor. I have no idea.
I love creepy. Go.
Yeah, let's do this. I have no idea who drank this water bottle sitting in front of me.
Right.
We could sequence the saliva off of it and on the computer restructure the person's face of who was drinking that bottle.
There was, I heard, there was an art project.
Yeah,
I've been
exactly.
trying to get her to Hope where she did that with like discarded cigarettes, butts, and gum and made masks. I think she also made some sort of like DNA kit that you can actually like, get or something
so
like a research.
So there was a bioartist in collaboration here with people at GenSpace.
Yes.
Yep, so she was in New York, now she's in Chicago.
Yeah, because she moved,
There's another similar one where somebody got tired of the dogs in the area shitting and leaving them
there.
Yes, I haven't heard. What's
she,
this?
She went around to all the neighbor dogs and threw a tennis ball over the fence, and the dog brought it back to her, and she reached through it with the plastic bag and then made a little library of all the dogs in the neighborhood. That any time shit was left from the neighbors, she would run samples on it and prove it was that dog and then confront the owner with genetic information saying, like, you need to pick up your dog shit.
So anybody with a dog, be forewarned of biohackers.
Yes.
We're coming for you.
And I love that we can do this, but for somehow police body cams just happen to fall off. You know, that's just absolutely amazing here. Well, since I don't want to keep you here forever, it's actually in that 9:39. I know you guys, originally it was supposed to be an hour, but I wanted to get you guys out of here a little early. Any sort of final thoughts and like how can people like reach you and like reach out and get into the biohacking world?
Openwetware.org.
Yeah, or DIYBio.org has a listing of all the local groups for DIY bio scene.
This is why we need you guys. We need to come up with better names.
And also,
like,
if you can't find your biohacking local group, they might be established yet, but they might have a meetup. So look on meetup.com, biohacking, community lab,
Starter
and there
space.
Might be something there.
Yeah, and a shout-out to DEF CON Biohacking Village, two of us here.
Is it just two people in the village?
Oh. Say that again?
Is it just two people running the village?
Of us here.
Yeah, two of us here. I have a little bit of information on geneticmike.com if you want to dig in a little further.
That's also a great stand-up comedian name. Hi, I'm Genetic Mike.
I'm Genetic Mike.
Yeah.
You don't really want the DNA, though.
We're going to have a get-together of the OIBI community in September in Oakland called Biohack the Planet. So have a look at that.
That is an awesome name.
In New York, also go to the Odin.com for resources, because he's organizing biohacking.
Go Josiah.
So in New York, there's GenSpace, and one of the guys that I work with, you'll love this, the name is DangerousThings.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the implants.
Yeah, Amal.
Because, you know, every time we come up with names, it's like, what should we call this? The 0 day that ends with 4-2, the 4-2-0... end key, like, you know, they're kind of like historians where it's like, what should we call this war that happened in 1812? The War of 1812, you know, just whatever. It's like, you know, I'll call it like, you know, the War of Dick Punch, you know, just something people remember crap for. Well, thank you all for coming here on not only Radio Stellar, but thank you for bringing your fields and your expertise into stuff, because, you know, a lot of people think hacking is just, you know, sitting around on the computer in the basement of your parents' basement, like just taking down the IRS and stuff like that. But it's really just this whole field out there is just all like it's just discovery and hammering things out. And so thank you for opening not only the world's eyes but our eyes as crazy nutball hackers to this whole new field that we can cause chaos and new hopes for in the future. I'm really excited to have this small space. I'm really happy with all the talks and workshops I have. And my pitch for Emmanuel is that in 2018, I want everyone to go, what the hell is the Biohacking Village in DEF CON? Because, like, just with the makers, I'm pretty sure next year half of it is just going to be nothing but, like, wall of sheep genome. Hey, we found your DNA. Like, wall sheep with IPs. that sort of thing. I just want to see that grow. Thank you all for joining us on Radio Statler.
So I'm shaking his hand right now, taking some DNA.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's one way to make a sex clone. that's one way.
Another
enjoy.
One?
Extract my DNA.
I can publicly list my skills. Those are all doxed already. Thank you for the biohacking, not quite hour, but still informative information. And apparently they want you to tweet the links and such to Blue Lust Streak. Blue Lust Streak with like the S sharing, Lust Streak, that sort of thing. So I guess that's your homework for tonight.
I'll tweet them on air right now.
Okay, so B-L-U-E, like the color, L-U-S. T-R-E-A-K. And Lulu is the person who dropped out. That sounds great segment. Thank you. This is a segment that I really fought for stuff. I literally had four main segments I was geeking out, and this was actually my top one. You're like right ahead of the future BSD people. I'm not just saying that sucking dick because I have a giant black microphone in front of my face. So yeah, I've been delaying this long enough. Thank you for bringing this stuff. Thank you for enriching Hope more. Stay tuned for Radio Statler for part four excitement.
Great. Thank you.